Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday. It is great to have you in. We're still in summer, but you can start smelling the grass in football. Fall is coming live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1 is where to find us. 1 hour from now, as we do every Monday, Colin was right. Colin was wrong. Lot of both on a Monday. It is great to be in here. Joy Taylor is back from Acapulco or something. Wherever you were, the south of France, you are back, ready to go.
I was in South Florida. I had to go see my new nephew, Jordan. Just 2 weeks old. He's a cutie. So I just caught up with the family. I got to go see him now because once football season starts, I'm not getting to the East Coast. So
they're just little adorable little...
They're so... I haven't held a newborn in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm like... You're so afraid you're going to break them. Like, they're very resilient, but I'm like, I don't know. It's a little.
So let's start with this. We all know, or at least we all should be smart enough to know, that life isn't even. If I grew up with a lot of money, I didn't, but let's say I grew up with a lot of money and Joy grew up with none. And my brothers and sisters went to Ivy League schools and my parents were always there for me. And let's say Joy's weren't. It's all hypothetical. I would have a huge advantage. Now, that doesn't mean by 45, 50 years old, she couldn't be a much happier person. But in your early 20s, I would probably have a lot more stability in my life, right? For somebody that didn't have some of the things I had. Again, it's a hypothetical, not saying I did. But quarterbacks are different. We give up on them after like 16 starts, right? It's not like life where you can get a divorce and start over. Or you can have bad parents and turn out to have a good life. Stuff takes time, but in pro sports, especially quarterbacks, we don't give you a lot of that. So context is really important. Fans, you are great at passion. You often get in fights in games. You care so much. That's not good, obviously, but passion's what you're good at. What you're really bad at, and you got to own this, is context. You're absolutely sure when your young quarterback wins, he's great. And if another guy doesn't, he's bad. Context. What do they have as a coach, a GM, an O-line? So I looked at the passing grades this weekend for all the young quarterbacks. Mac Jones was the best. Zach Wilson was second. Justin Fields third. Trevor Lawrence fourth. And Trey Lance was last. Now let me start with this. All the young quarterbacks, all the rookies showed glimpses of what they truly are. Mac Jones on Thursday gets rid of the ball fast. Comfortable at the line of scrimmage, very accurate. Well, that's what he was in college. Trey Lance, whoo! Talent, but very uneven and sloppy. Why? Hasn't played much in 2 years. Justin Fields, super athlete, rolls out, make plays happen with his feet and his arm. We saw that in Chicago. Trevor Lawrence, not surrounded by much, but boy, he can make all the throws. He's big. That ball just snaps up. Oh, that's what we saw. And then, by the way, Zach Wilson, who I've been critical of, we all told you he had a good arm, moves well, a little bit of an Aaron Rodgers comp. We saw some of that. Everybody gave you glimpses of what was advertised. But think of this. Two of them, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, have big-time coaches. Two of them, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, have rookie coaches. One of them, Justin Fields, has a coach who, if he doesn't win early, could be gone by Thanksgiving. Total hot seat. Fans are going to yell, my guy is the guy. My guy is better. Haven't we learned, with very, very few exceptions, it depends on where you land. Mahomes got Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, great GM, smart owners. Josh Rosen didn't. Now, we think Mahomes is better than Josh Rosen, but do you think Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson would be this successful had they ended up in Jacksonville or Houston? I mean, take Baker Mayfield. He was a dumpster fire for the first 2 years. But they hired Kevin Stefanski and a really good GM, Andrew Berry. And he's got a great offensive line. Last 7-8 games last year, Baker Mayfield was good. We all know that in our real lives, like your life, my life, Joy's life, Ryan's life, we all understand, it's understood. Some kids get breaks, some kids don't. And we put that in context. Like, you know what? You deserve something. You didn't get the breaks. Or, oh, he's a trust fund kid. He'll be fine. But with quarterbacks, we never do that. I mean, Mac Jones, to me, has no playmaking ability and is the lowest ceiling. But when I watch New England, I think they remind me of Miami last year. Now, Miami this year has playmakers on the outside. They didn't last year. Am I going to be surprised if Mac Jones wins 10 games? Defense, special team. I mean, they're going to beat the Jets twice. There's 2-0. No, I would not be surprised if Mac Jones won 10 games. I have him winning about 9. What if they go 11-6 and they win with defense and they don't turn it over and they have no penalties? Oh, wait, that's what they've always done. I mean, good God, they won 11 games with Matt Castle 1 year. Jimmy Garoppolo, every game he ever started in New England, he won. Jacoby Brissett played 2 games. He won one of them. The reality is context. Justin Fields. Everybody loves Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields. But does everybody understand what's going on in Chicago? He's got one elite wide receiver, Allen Robinson. What if he twists an ankle? What's he got to work with? He's got one running back I like, David Montgomery. He's hurt now. Offensive line, they are making it up as they go. The coach has to play Justin Fields, right? The fans want it. The media want it. The people want it. The players want it. All sorts of pressure. Yet I have the Bears at 7-10, and I think Justin Fields is going to be terrific. Context. What are all these players dealing with? And you know what they are dealing with? Different circumstances. Mac Jones, to me, is the least talented and could very well play the most snaps and win the most games this year. Okay, I want to talk about one quarterback specifically. Trey Lance. So what fans want to see in San Francisco and what fans will see in San Francisco, to me, are two different things. My strongest opinion of all the quarterbacks this weekend is Trey Lance needs a lot more days in the batting cage. He was really uneven, really sloppy, and occasionally brilliant. But let me throw this at you. In the last 583 days, now just let that bake. It's almost 2 years, right? In the last 583 days, Trey Lance, after this weekend, has completed 20 passes in 583 days. And it shows. I know you want Jimmy Garoppolo to watch Trey Lance play. Trey Lance, it can be argued, needs to take every snap for the entire preseason. Folks, there's a big difference between you cracking a few jokes in front of friends. You're funny. And headlining at Caesar's Palace for an hour and a half. No notes. That's the NFL. Trey Lance is not ready. He will be. He could be. The coach is good. But it would literally be remarkable if Trey Lance, with 20 completed passes in 2 years, walked into the NFL in the NFC West and tore it up. I mean, that would be, there's no precedent for that. That kid just needs reps. You can see the talent. He's big. He's athletic. He can move. He's got a big arm. But when you start adding in how little he's played, how complex that offense is, the expectations, the division is the NFC West, Trey Lance needs to play in the preseason every snap and probably should not play in September. And if he's playing in September, it's probably because Garoppolo got hurt. Like that, this is not an indictment. Again, context. But when I watched him, he was the most uneven. High, low. Should have had a couple balls intercepted. It's not his fault. I mean, if I take a week off from doing this show, first day back, I'm rusty. 583 days. Trey Lance has completed 20 passes. His college program was a power team. It's like Alabama, where the quarterback's important but not crucial. You know, you go watch Oklahoma football, The quarterback's everything. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Spencer Rattler. You watch North Dakota State football, it's like Alabama. They're going to win pretty much whoever's playing quarterback. Kyle Shanahan talked about Trey's opening performance.
There was some good and some bad. I mean, by no means was it perfect. Definitely missed a couple. There's a couple of spots that you'd like him to go to different places. Sometimes a couple balls that he would have sailed on him, I think he'd like to have back. Good first day. I mean, I didn't want it to go perfect for him.
I thought that there was a moment when Justin Fields for the Bears walked on the field and got a standing ovation, had never taken a professional football snap. And I'm like, I mean, the fans got the passion thing down. They're crazy. But let's just take a deep breath. I tell my kids this all the time. Anytime there's something going on, we don't have an answer, I'm always like, you got a lot of living left. Just take a deep breath. The answer isn't always today. Sometimes the answer is tomorrow, next week, next year, next decade. Take a deep breath for all these guys. All right, Tua. Dolphin fans are not good at taking breaths with Tua. We'll talk about what we saw there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tired of waiting for hot water? Choose Navien 15-year warranty. Save hundreds, too, on local rebates. TanklessMadeSimple.com, Navien Tankless Water Heaters. So have you ever walked into a company and you can tell it's well-run? You can just tell it's well-run. I remember this probably 30 years ago. And it's still an impression in my head. I walked into a Costco for the first time. It's a giant warehouse with vats of mayonnaise and mustard. And I remember walking through Costco. I'd heard about Costco. You got to go to Costco. Everything's discount. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a clown show. In fact, clown show wasn't even a term back then. So I go to Costco, and I was in there for 2 hours. I was fascinated by it. I'm like, it's so organized. I can get pork chops, a winter coat, motor oil, a stereo, and it was orderly in the checkout system. And I was like, God, this is well run. I felt the exact same way about 25 years later walking into IKEA, the Norwegian furniture store. It wasn't that I loved the furniture, but I was so in awe of the structure of it and how they just moved everybody along like there was a tram on the floor. And you're like, I don't know if I like anything here, but God, this is a good business. When I watch the Miami Dolphins play, you guys are all caught up on Tua, and sometimes so am I. That's not what my eyes go to. They are so well coached. If you don't watch the Miami Dolphins and get how well coached, even with backups playing, you do not get football. Think about this. They're in the middle of a rebuilding process. Last year, they're a rebuilding team. They forced the most turnovers in the NFL. Not the Steelers, not the Ravens, not the Rams, the Dolphins? They also were the best third down defense in the NFL. How the hell is that possible? They're just rebuilding. They're so smart, so crisp, so buttoned down. I watched them against Chicago this weekend. Bears had 9 penalties. Shocker, they had 4. In fact, since Brian Flores has taken over for the Dolphins, they are the second least penalized team in the National Football League. Number one is New England. Shocker. Of all of Belichick's disciples, we finally have Belichick South. Belichick with aqua water. Every time I watch Miami, I'm spending so much time talking about Tua, they're going to win 10 games just because they're a better run company. Between their GM and I am just amazed. They literally look like New England. I lived in Connecticut for 10 years. I watched every Patriot preseason game, regular season game. And I was always taken back by fundamentally, even though Brady was the GOAT, they didn't rely on him to always win games. The defense, the special teams. I mean, they're playing backups against Chicago. Even their backup corners, press coverage. They don't make mistakes. You don't get anything cheap over the top. They never fumble. There's no penalties. Everything looks like it's precise. Listen, Tua's going to win 5 games just because they play the Jags, Houston, the Jets twice, and Carolina. I know I love my Carolina Panthers. Those are teams not going to beat Miami. They got 5 wins before the season starts. They're just better teams. And we spend all this time on Tua. What we're looking at here, if you know football, and I think 40 years of watching it, I got a pretty good sense for it. That is as well coached a football team as the National Football League has. It's just amazing what they're doing right now. How in the heck do they have the best third down defense and force the most turnovers in the middle of a rebuild? That's not, what's the precedent for who's done that? Belichick, with his great defenses, did that. But, you know, we've hired all these Bill Belichick guys, have all gotten opportunities. When I watch Miami, you know, we all stare at Tua. He's winning 10 games. Folks, last year, Tua admitted, yeah, I didn't know the playbook. He went 6-3. And they're way better this year than last year because their GM knows what he's doing. So they just added players in free agency. They, you know, they went out and got a Will Fuller. They draft Jalen Waddle. So the wide receivers were one of their weak spots last year. Now it could be a strength. I know we all want to talk about Tua. That is a well-coached football team. When your backups don't get penalized, when your backups are precise, the guys upstairs, the guys in the sideline really know what they're doing. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Dak Prescott continues to show some progress as he recovers from a shoulder sprain. He had that second MRI that is not a setback and not a reason to worry.
No biggie.
Don't pay attention to what we're doing over here. But it did reveal that the shoulder is healing well. He went through a throwing session before the Cowboys preseason game against the Cardinals, and he didn't suit up to play, but he is expected to return to practice as a limited participant today. I imagine we will learn a little bit more about this whole situation on Hard Knocks tomorrow. But yes, I mean, I think that the way that they're handling this is smart, other than that really strange tweet. They should be very cautious with Dak Prescott. If they don't have him out there, their season is a wash. And they're also balancing Dak really wanting to be out there and not necessarily going through the process, not to any to his, you know, any fault of his own. I think Dak is a very self-aware guy, but he also has been away from football for a long time, and he wants to be out there with his teammates, and he wants to be out there playing. So in general, you're going to fight through injuries to get back out there. And in this situation, he really doesn't need to. They need to take it slow through preseason. He wants to play in the Texans game, but I think they're going to push this off, getting him out there for as long as possible.
Yeah, they don't really have a plan B. So, you know, it's the preseason. They're going to be fine, I think.
I think my only question with them is he's really wanted to play in the preseason to get that speed up and to get those reps, and he might not be able to now because of his shoulder.
Well, in that instance, I think Dak should listen to his coaches. Players always want to play, which is a great sign, right? They're competitive. But listen, Justin Fields wants to play every snap, but it's like athletes tend to feel, especially when they're in their 20s, they're bulletproof, like Dak should not play. I mean, to me, I don't want him playing. Do I think Dak needs practice to get the ball to CeeDee Lamb? Nope.
No, but Dak has said that he wants that experience because of his ankle.
Of course he does. Well, does that mean I'm going to listen to him? No. I mean, all these guys want to play. At some point, I have to say, you know, my kids like to do a lot of things. And I'm like, no, that's a bad decision. I'm older. Mike McCarthy at some point has to say, part of my job is to know when not to play you,
right,
not just when to play you. And Dak should want to play. He's an athlete. He's in his prime athletically. He's got a great life. But I'm sorry, your second MRI, just like, dude, 3 weeks, yoga, whatever. Be ready for the open.
I'm torn on it because I do tend to agree with you. He doesn't need to get out there. He doesn't need reps with CeeDee Lamb. But, you know, he did say he wanted to get, banged around a little bit. He wanted that full game speed to test his ankle out and feel fully confident in it. Might have to just push that off until the first week of the season.
Michael Irvin, I don't know where Michael was. I just want to give him credit. Michael Irvin the other day said when he was at practice, he saw Dak occasionally throwing the ball left-handed, just a little bit. And he's thinking to himself, so that's telling you there's a little soreness there. Because Dak on the sidelines would be going left-handed. And he's like, no. Tom Brady, we've never seen him throw left-handed.
Right.
So it's like Michael was like, that's something. What he's telling you is there's enough tenderness that anytime he doesn't have to do something right-handed, he's doing it left-handed. And it's like Michael Irvin knows. Like, there's something here. I don't have an answer. I'm not claiming anything. But I would not play Dak a snap. No way I'm playing him a snap.
Well, Trevor Lawrence got sacked on his first NFL preseason snap.
Yes.
But he did bounce back for a solid debut with Jacksonville. It's kind of an ironic way to start your NFL career.
That was a good throw. That was his best early throw.
I thought he looked good. Yeah. He completed 6 of 9 passes for 71 yards in 2 series against the Browns. He didn't lead his team to any points in the 23-13 loss. After the game, he said he felt comfortable and poised out there and will work on not holding the ball for too long going forward. This is the week where this is a massive overreaction week. And listen, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I am not on an island not overreacting to preseason. In general, you and I are not big preseason people, but this particular season is very unique.
Yeah.
In that some quarterbacks from last year probably could have used an offseason, Tua, did not get one. And this year there's so many young quarterbacks coming in, and some of them are incredibly raw. Jordan Love also in that category with Tua, who didn't get an offseason. So we're really getting to see some of these guys for the first time.
Yeah.
Even last year, Jordan Love. And some of them are so raw. Like Trey Lance hasn't played in so long. So this particular preseason is one where we're really all paying attention.
Well, listen, if you took the Jags roster and the Browns roster, I don't have every player down, but Miles Jack for the Jags, I think, would start for Cleveland. I'm not sure there's a second one. When I watched that, I thought to myself, and by the way, if my ones are better than your ones, the chances are, like, Cleveland's now at a point where their twos are probably better than most of Jacksonville's twos. So, you know, Tim Tebow's not getting workouts with the Browns. Nothing against Tebow. I think we just have to understand that what Urban Meyer is building,
right.
I like their draft. I like them going out and getting an elite corner from Seattle, but this is a complete gut job.
No, it's in the infant phases of the rebuilds.
By the way,
it's step one.
As well run as Buffalo is, this offseason, they had to go fix some stuff, like their pass rush. Like, you got to understand here, like what Buffalo is doing, we all think it's complete. No, there's a reason Buffalo's not quite as good as a Tampa or San Francisco. They don't have a pass rush. So there's only one team in the league to me, Tampa, where you look at their roster and they were drafting for depth.
They brought back all their starters.
Yeah, everybody else was drafting for need. So Jacksonville, just add layers to that of needs. They don't have a unit right now. They have some interesting receiving parts, but everything.
They have some places where there is talent, but nothing as a whole unit that is complete. I don't think that Tim Tebow's getting an opportunity anywhere but Jacksonville. We'll talk about that later. So Justin Fields, good luck, Matt Nagy. Good luck to you. Justin Fields had a strong preseason debut with Chicago on Saturday and quite the reception from Chicago Bears fans.
It was so much fun. By the way, it was a beautiful Chicago afternoon. It looked like most of the seats were sold. People, you know,
no,
Chicago in the Chicago in the summer is always a beautiful town.
It's the best.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Soldier Field, south part of town. Everybody just, I have a lot of cousins there and family there. I sat there and I thought, I know it's preseason. You have to understand, Chicago has gotten everything right in the history of their city when it comes to sports except one position, quarterback. That's it. They've had Stan Mikita, Patrick Kane. They've had the baseball guys, the White Sox, the Cubs. They've had great pitchers, great manager. They've never gotten the quarterback, a 15-year guy. That town is salivating for a quarterback for 15 years. Green Bay's had 3 of them. They haven't had one since Johnny Lujack,
that's just their lifestyle in Green Bay. Yeah, you could sense the excitement for Justin Fields before he even got out there.
So much fun.
He threw for 142 yards with a touchdown and ran for another one in the 20-13 comeback win over Miami, which was actually a very good game for a preseason game.
Sure, it was. It was fun. I watched every snap. It was fun.
And he said getting to practice against a tough defense like the Bears helped him to prepare.
It was actually kind of slow to me, to be honest. I think, you know, I was expecting it to be a little bit faster, but, you know, practicing, you know, game speed, going at it with my teammates every day. And, of course, you know, we have a great defense. So me going against them every day, it definitely slowed the game up a little bit for me. So, I felt comfortable out there. And I have room to grow. So I'm just going to try to get better each and every day.
By the way, he looks young. There's a reason. He is young.
All these guys are very young.
Take a deep breath. But it was a great sports moment that didn't count in terms of preseason moments in NFL history,
yeah,
it felt so big.
You had to be happy for Bears fans, regardless of how this is all going to play out. They enjoy this little moment of hope. I saw this clip and the quote everywhere, like, because the game was kind of slow for me and everyone's crushing. I'm like, yeah, it's preseason. I don't like when they do that. Like, put the full context of the quote, because what he was really saying is he practices up against a great defense every day, not game speed, but as full speed as you're going to be in practice. And that does help slow things down for you
if you're
a rookie quarterback. Chicago's defense is very good.
Yeah.
That's good preparation for a preseason game. I don't think he was saying that the NFL is going to be slow for him. He was answering a specific question. So everyone's kind of getting on his case, like, oh, all right, see how that is against Aaron Donald. Like, that's not what he was saying.
No.
He was saying this preseason game wasn't as fast as he thought it was going to be because he goes up against a great defense every day.
Yeah. The whole thing was fun. I sat there Saturday and just watched all day long. I watched preseason games and I had a blast. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jordan Love got dinged up. They did a test. He's okay. I thought he looked good too. First couple of drives, quickly in and out, but then then he started feeling confident. By the way, I thought Justin Fields' first drive, he looked anxious. Of course he looked anxious. Good Lord, wouldn't you be nervous? So Peter King is now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, NBCSports.com. Let's go to a veteran quarterback. You had a piece on Aaron Rodgers, a very, very in-depth piece on Aaron Rodgers, which I read this morning. Give our audience, because I think everybody should go and read it. It's fascinating. But give me the one or two gems from that article as a tease, Peter, that may have surprised you a little.
Well, Colin, there's been all kinds of rumors about where exactly Aaron Rodgers stands right now contractually and where he is with his team. Here's exactly where he stands. After this season, if he doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore, he can request a trade, but he cannot request, I have to go to place X. Okay, he can request a trade. The Packers will not release him. Now, in addition to that, if you look at what happens beyond 2022, he would be a free agent at age 39 in 2023 if he plays each of the next 2 years for Green Bay. If he decides to play it out and to be free in 2023, at age 39, he would be what Tom Brady was at age 42. And he would be able to go wherever he wants at that point. There's also the thought that it's possible, not probable, but possible, that he could like the Packers and want to finish his career in Green Bay and sign a gigantic contract at the end of this year if he plays well. And so that is one part of it. Okay, now you understand next year, in order to leave, he can request it leaving and they would have to grant that request, but it would be a trade. The following year, he would be free to be a total free agent. I think the one other thing that interested me, Colin, is that in the first line of my story is, you know, there's only one word to describe being with Aaron Rodgers right now, and that is Zen. He's got a don't worry, be happy thing about him. Even off the record, he was not kicking and screaming in any way, shape, or form. He talked to his team, Colin, the first day he was back after the first practice. He broke down the huddle, and he basically said, guys, let's all be present here. I desperately want to be here. We got a great team. We got a great chance. Forget the future. I am. And let's just think about what we're doing here right now. Colin, the bottom line is Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a decision yet about 2022 because he can't. He doesn't know what this year is going to bring.
Great stuff, folks. I strongly encourage you to go read Peter King, NBCSports.com, Football Morning in America. So I love Chicago. My wife spent a lot of time there. I didn't really learn Chicago, figure it out until my mid-40s. It was the last great American city I hadn't spent any time in. And so as I watched the game Saturday, it gave me goosebumps. The city, I said this last week, they've had great baseball players, great managers, great hockey stars. You go back to Stan Mikita. They've done a lot right. They've never had the guy since, like, Johnny Lujack, who I thought was a DJ until last week, okay? So you can sense the city's just salivating to get the guy. But here's my takeaway on that. It puts an enormous amount of pressure on Matt Nagy. The media wants Justin Fields. The fans want him. The owner, I mean, the owner can see the merch he sells. I just feel that we're just asking this. There's just so much of an ask by this staff, and I don't know if that's going to turn out right. Like, I watched it, and I thought, man, he's a kid. How do you think this thing plays out at least early in the year?
I spent 35 minutes with Matt Nagy early Saturday morning at the team hotel talking about how they're going to handle the quarterback. And he probably spent about half of that time talking about the way Andy Reid handled the quarterback in 2017 with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, he was in all those meetings. He saw the benefit that Patrick Mahomes got working with a trusted veteran who's been there, done that in the NFL. Just as Patrick Mahomes had Alex Smith, Justin Fields has Andy Dalton. And for those who say, oh, my God, please, no Andy Dalton. So why? Do you want to feed a guy to the wolves before he's ready? Now, he may be ready. But Colin, I wrote about it this morning in my column. All right. Think of the following guys who all played a maximum of one game in their first years in the NFL. Tom Brady threw three passes. Drew Brees, Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers didn't play till year four, basically. And then Patrick Mahomes, he played one game as a rookie. So for those who say you got to play Justin Fields now, look, he's ready. He played really okay in this preseason game against Miami. Put him in there. Let's see what he's got. I mean, can you please have the long view for once and stop eating your young?
Okay, so it's funny with New England. I watch Mac Jones, and I said, if I was the Patriots, I could see the staff, half the staff saying, listen, we don't have enough playmakers. Cam's a playmaker. We need to have a playmaker. I could hear half the staff.
Cam was a playmaker. Is he now? What did you see last year?
Well,
seriously, I'm not trying to kill Cam. I'm saying in 2015, he was a great playmaker. Last year, a few games, he played pretty well. Now, maybe COVID really hurt him badly. We don't know, but I didn't think he was really impressive the other night throwing the ball. But then again, he was only in for, you know, a couple of minutes. And again, Colin, I don't know what the right thing to do there is, but I honestly think that Cam Newton really has to show the Patriots more in the preseason to show Bill Belichick that, you know, maybe we should go to the kid, even because it's a different situation than with Justin Fields. The Patriots are really trying to win. Everybody's trying to win. But I don't know that Cam Newton really gives them a good chance to win right now. So that's why I think they might be in a different situation, thinking that maybe we got to play Mac Jones early.
You know what I said earlier? They remind me of Miami last year. Is there good in a lot of spots? Young at quarterback, but Tua went 6-3 last year. Now Miami is Miami with perimeter weapons. Like, New England looks like to me, they're Miami last year. They're going to win 10 games, but they're not going to rely on their quarterback. And I would argue that New England, you could make an argument, Peter, that New England coaches are saying, listen, here's what Mac is. Efficient and accurate, no turnovers. That's what Tua was, basically, like throwing for 142 yards and winning. So you think Mac Jones probably has the lean right now as the starter?
I think it's too early to tell. But I do think that they're going to have to see from Cam Newton, you know, in the next 3 weeks, both in camp and in these games. I just think they're going to have to see something better than they saw for most of last year. And look, maybe in practice, Cam Newton has been airing it out and looks good and all that. I don't know. I'm not there. But my feeling is that it's a different story in New England than it was for Mahomes 4 years ago, and it is for Justin Fields this year. They have veterans who can go in and win some games. And maybe Cam Newton can too. We'll see.
So I'm not going to give away Peter King's Aaron Rodgers stuff, but there's some interesting thoughts on retirement. I want to go read the article. I thought that was fascinating too. NBCSports.com, Peter King. Great stuff on a Monday, Peter. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Colin. All the best.
You bet. Yeah, there's some interesting thoughts about Aaron and retirement. That, you know, when you come on this show, it's like a movie trailer. I'm not going to give away everything. I want to push you to his article because I was really not taken back by it, but we've got a new generation of quarterbacks that think differently about the position. Remember when Trevor Lawrence said, football doesn't define my life? We're all like, whoa! But I understand that, like Brady and Russell Wilson, it kind of feels like it controls their life, right? Family football, that's it. So just read the article. It's good stuff. Coming up next, my thoughts on Zach Wilson of the Jets. If you're a Jets fan, there's a really interesting way to go about this with Zach Wilson. And I want to talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Top of the next hour, only 10, 12 minutes away. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong on a Monday. It is so great to have you in. By the way, we have Tony Boselli later today, one of the great Jacksonville Jaguar players of all time. I watched the Jags, Cleveland, a little bit of a mismatch in personnel, and Cleveland didn't play anybody. You know, it's really funny. This isn't really a topic, but it's something I noticed. If you look at the young coaches in the NFL, it's like Sean McVay's the Pied Piper. Sean McVay doesn't play any starters. Who else didn't? Staley, the new coach of the Chargers, who used to be on the Rams staff, he didn't play any starters. Matt LaFleur, friends with McVay, he didn't want to play any starters. There's like the McVay camp. They're not going to play any starters. And then you want to know who did play starters this weekend and first teamers? Belichick, Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, Ron Rivera, Bruce Arians, a lot of the old school coaches. So you got these old school coaches. They're like, we're playing our star. Tom Brady played. Okay, Tom Brady played. Then you have these young coaches. I mean, Carolina didn't play Sam Darnold. You're like, what? Brady played and Sam Darnold didn't? We have a cultural revolution going on here, basically, where the young coaches kind of follow the lead of McVay, which is, what's the point of playing these guys? The old coaches, most of them, not all, Pete Carroll played a lot of guys, but a lot of the old guys, the Tomlins, the Ron Riveras, the Arians, the Andy Reid, they're like, you got to build up calluses. You can't handle a preseason game. You can't handle the NFL. You got to take all these games with a deep breath, but here's what I would say about Zach Wilson of the Jets. And you know, I think there's stuff I don't like, but what you saw, people say, why did the Jets fall in love with him so early? I mean, they made their mind up. Remember when the draft came, it was like, they decided like 2 months out, we're taking him. There weren't even rumors. It's like, everybody knew it. Why? Well, you can see why, as we predicted. He moves well. He's got a lively arm. He's got a great release. The comp is Aaron Rodgers. Now, to me, you know, the upside's there and the downside's Johnny Manziel, where he looks a little small, ad-libs a little too much. I'm worried a little bit about, like, his ability to do beyond the spectacular. Does he have the patience and the emotional discipline? Because all of his highlights in college, he's winging it and he's ad-libbing it. Can he just sit in the pocket? Because when you have a great arm, you tend to like to run around and make plays and extend plays because you just think, well, I've always been able to make plays at BYU. My arm just saves me. In the NFL, your arm's not going to save you. Okay, the defenses are too good. The coaching's too good. But don't get me wrong. I think he looks small, but his arm is excellent. He's got a quick, fast ball. It's like Marino. Some guys, Marino, Rodgers, the ball just flies out. It looks different. His ball just flies out. I mean, Sam Darnold's got that clunky release, and every quarterback, Brady's got the statue. Like, this kid just like, boom, it's like a seed, like you're, it flies out. His best asset, right, though, in September, October, is the Jets' defensive line. It's excellent. It was excellent last year. It looks better this year. Go ask the New York Giants' offensive line about the Jets' defensive line. They totally took the Giants out of their offense. If you go look at the Jets' schedule, they get a little bit of a break here. He doesn't have to be spectacular. Week one, Carolina. Weakness of their team, offensive line. You could absolutely see the Jets' defensive line walking down into Charlotte and completely discombobulating Carolina's offense. That's a bad O-line and a great D-line. Go ask Patrick Mahomes what happens when a great defensive front faces an average offensive front. Mahomes was overwhelmed in the Super Bowl. He doesn't have to be spectacular. Just don't make mistakes. Do the Aaron Rodgers. One or two big throws and let Aaron Jones carry the day. Week two, Patriots. They don't have a lot of weapons. It's not going to be a shootout. Be smart. Make one or two plays, because I do think the Jets have a few playmakers. Week three, captain check down Teddy Bridgewater or mistake-prone Drew Lock. Both could struggle with that Jets defensive line. Week four, that defensive line is going to slow down Derrick Henry. It's not going to be a shootout. You start looking at the Jets' early schedule, that defensive line, you're not going to have to win by shootout. That defensive line could completely unravel Carolina's offense, Denver's offense, probably Tennessee's. It won't discombobulate the Patriots, but you can see the glimpses of what he can do. But Aaron Rodgers goes 13-3. He has occasional spectacular plays, but balance is what Matt LaFleur was always seeking when he came to Green Bay. He's like, we're not balanced enough. They've gone 26-6 on balance with an occasional spectacular play. That Jets D-line is going to be a huge ally for Zach Wilson. He will not have to win by shootouts. It's going to be tough to move the ball on those guys. Hour two next.